The sweetest season of the year is upon us. How is Maine's maple sugar industry doing? Maine Maple Sunday is 10 days from now, but Maine farmers and home enthusiasts have been collecting sap for a few weeks now. The season started early this year, and producers say it looks like a good one. Maine is not New England's largest producer of maple syrup. That title belongs to Vermont. But our state's maple production has been steadily growing over the years, and officials say it is now a $30 million a year industry. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll learn all about Maine's maple sugar scene. We'll get an update on this season, learn how climate change may affect Maine's maple trees, get tips on tapping your own trees, and maybe even talk recipes. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Maine's maple syrup industry is the third largest in the country. It contributes almost $30 million to the state's economy, and right now we are in the prime maple syrup season. Sap started flowing earlier than usual this year, thanks to the combination of cold nights and milder days we saw for most of the winter. This is all good news for Maple Sunday, which takes place March 26. Today, we're going to talk about all things maple. What is the outlook for the industry? Does the future of maple syrup in Maine look sweet? And yes, my producer wrote that line. With me in the studio, Catherine Hopkins. She's an educator with the University of Maine Cooperative Extension, where she teaches agriculture and natural resources. And Lyle Merrifield is a maple syrup producer based in Gorham. He's president of the Maine Maple Producers Association. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you ever tried your hand at tapping a tree? Are you planning to visit one of Maine's sugar houses on next weekend? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you both for being here. Lyle, how's the season so far?
So far, it's been pretty well, especially people who are tapped early. Had a fair amount of production in the mid-January into the 1st of February. For the last week or so, it's really tightened up a lot. Things are frozen pretty solid, but that's not necessarily a bad thing as long as it's when the sap's not running due to cold days and cold nights, at least you know that everything's being preserved. It would be more alarming if it was a warm days and warm nights and it wasn't raining. That would be a whole different problem.
Okay, so this it just kind of pauses things to have the weather we've had this week.
Exactly.
It doesn't harm the trees. It doesn't harm
not
the
typically,
sap.
Especially with the extreme cold that we've been experiencing in the snow. It's going to preserve everything quite well, I think.
Kathy, it's fun to have you on the program. We've also posted some videos that you've made for the UMaine Cooperative Extension. So if somebody is interested in doing this for the first time, you're the person they see when they watch the videos. What does someone need to know? Maybe I have a couple big old maples on my property. I've always thought maybe I'll do that someday. Maybe I'll tap these trees. Maybe I'll make them into maple syrup. Where does one start even thinking about it? It's not a big deal, is it?
No, it's really not that big a deal if you're going to just be tapping a few trees in your yard. I think one of the most important things is to make sure that it is indeed a maple tree. And the Forest Service does have a really nice Forest Trees of Maine book. So you can use that to identify the twigs and the buds and make sure that you do have a maple tree. I had someone that said once that their kids were going to make maple syrup, and I asked him a few weeks later how the syrup making was going. Not so well, he said. They tapped an oak.
But a maple leaf is pretty distinctive. You're
yes.
not going to go wrong if you know what a maple leaf looks like, right? And you know that that's the tree that has the beautiful maple leaves, yeah.
Right. And once you have that, the next most important thing to think about is just to be sure that you're using food-grade equipment. You're making a food product, and so getting an old rusty drill out of the workshop that's covered with oil is not a good idea. Grabbing an old joint compound bucket to collect the sap in, not a good idea. You know, a garbage can, not a good idea. Use food-grade equipment because you are going to be making a food product that you're going to eat.
Yeah, and one thing I saw in one of your videos, which I liked, was, you know, put a lid over the bucket that's collecting. You don't want anything falling into that bucket as the sap is coming out of the tree. It almost made me want to try it, almost, until I learned that it's 40 gallons of sap for 1 gallon of syrup. Wow, Lyle. So where do you start? What is your production on your farm? How many gallons do you start with of sap, and how much do you sell every year or in a good year?
Well, typically we like to produce 160 to 180 gallons of syrup. And normally the ratio would stick right at about 40 to 1. And that's based on sugar content of the sap.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get in this year right now, some of the sap that we boiled has had a little bit higher than normal sugar content, which is a good thing. So, it's a lot of steam through the roof if we have that container full of syrup.
And it's good to have some humidity in your house this time of year, but if you're doing that kind of scale, you're not doing it in your house.
Oh, no, for sure, because on my particular unit, I mean, you're evaporating off about 80 gallons of steam an hour goes up through the roof, so.
Oh, my goodness. Kathy, Lyle mentioned that some of the sap right now seems to have a higher content of sugar. Why is it that sometimes there's better sugar content than others?
Well, it's really hard to explain because it depends on so many different things. And there's no clear way of saying, well, we had a good rain last summer or we didn't have good rain last summer, and so the sap is going to be this much sweeter or that much sweeter. It's something that the tree does, and there's no real way to link that with any conditions in particular. It will change throughout the course of the season, the sweetness of the sap. Sometimes it starts really sweet and gets less sweet toward the end of the season. Sometimes it's just up and down through the course of the season. So,
And how much sap will one get from one tap if it's a healthy tree?
How much sap?
Do you know, Lyle?
If you did an estimate on the amount you get out of one tap for the season, it wouldn't be uncommon to get 25 or 30 gallons from one tap.
Oh, wow.
But then you would have other trees that may not run nearly as well. A lot of times it doesn't make a lot of sense on how trees run, because trees can be just a very short distance apart. And if you were hanging buckets on them, you might have one that has just overflows of sap daily, and the other one might struggle to get a third of a bucket.
Isn't that interesting?
It's just the genetics in the tree.
Okay, so Lyle, I want to know from you how you got into doing this. I understand it wasn't that your dad or grandfather taught you.
No. When I was in kindergarten in Gorham School Department, the kindergarten teacher, she thought we'd ought to do it for a project, and the whole class went out, and the bus driver helped us tap the tree, and we collected the sap and boiled it down. I don't think we, just during class time on a hot plate, so it certainly took a few days, I'm sure, but... Yeah, so we boiled some down and made enough for everybody to try it, and it always kind of stuck with me. And then once I got into scouting, and we did it as a scouting project and made syrup for all of our parents, and then, you know, for my own family, we made a fair amount of syrup. And then in the late 90s, I really got very much involved with it. So,
and are any of your other kindergarten classmates now doing the same thing?
You know, I don't think they are.
They didn't get bitten by the maple bug. They were smarter than I, I guess. Kathy, let me ask you sort of the science-y question. We hear with so many other crops that we talk about on Maine Calling, some of the threats to them, whether it's insects or funguses or things like that, fungi. What are there any threats to the maple syrup industry in Maine?
In Maine, not as much as in some other states. We don't have that many insect pests that are really attacking our maple trees here in Maine, which is a good thing. There are other states where they do have pests like tent caterpillars. And in Massachusetts, they had an outbreak in Worcester of the Asian longhorn beetle that kind of got away from folks. And all trees are at risk from that. But I think we're in pretty good shape in Maine. We're pretty isolated, I guess, and other pests haven't really come in yet, and we hope that they don't for a good long time. So I think we're in a good place in Maine.
Lyle, is all maple syrup the same, or is Maine maple syrup different than maple syrup in Vermont or from Canada?
Well, certainly Maine syrup is the best syrup. And I say that obviously tongue-in-cheek. But Maine syrup actually is a very sought-after syrup, though, from other states or other packers in other states. They like the flavor of the Maine syrup, especially from northern, north, and northwest Maine. They like the flavor of the syrup produced up there. And there's several packers throughout New England that really are aggressive on buying and getting barrel syrup out of the woods come spring.
Now, that's interesting. You said syrup from north or northwestern Maine. How would the syrup be different than your syrup from Gorham, Maine? Could somebody like me tell the difference, or does it take an aficionado to tell the difference?
You probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference. It would be questionable at times whether I could tell the difference. But people that taste syrup for a living and purchase syrup for a living definitely pick up the difference quickly.
Go ahead, Kathy.
And I think that if you line them up, if you line syrups from every state and province up in a line on the table and went down the line tasting them, you would taste, they would all taste good. But you could pick out slight differences, I think.
Does a older tree produce a different tasting syrup than a younger tree? Or is it really just the variety of the weather in the area that where it's being produced?
It's the weather, and it's also the tree. It's the tree genetics. It's the size of the crown of the tree. It's whether the tree is in full sun or buried deep in the woods. All of those things are part of the difference, so it's hard to tease those apart.
But. Mm-hmm. And you don't fertilize your trees with something special to give them a special flavor or something like that?
No, I mean, that. And there's been studies on tree fertilization, and I don't think anything's really conclusive on that. I think one of the biggest things that hinge on syrup flavor would be is the minerals and the soils that mm-hmm. the tree is growing in.
Yeah. We'd like to hear your questions about maple sugaring or maple trees or doing it yourself. Your phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email, talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. I was surprised to read this morning that Maine Maple Sundae, Lyle, is in its 34th year. I had no idea it has been around so long. But really, in the past decade or so, it's just exploded, hasn't it?
It has. It's really flourished. The organization, the Maine Maple Producers Association, has been fortunate that some of our forefounders had the foresight to put the program together, because I believe that it is the longest organized day for celebrating maple in most of the Maple Belt. So we're pretty proud of that.
You were going to say something, Kathy?
I think it has been the model that a lot of other states have used to develop their own maple days. And I know there was a place in Michigan that had an 86-year-old maple festival in a town, which is much older than Maple Sundae. But as far as having a statewide day where all the sugar houses, or as many that want to, are open, and the marketing for that event is on a statewide basis, Maine really is the state that came up with that idea.
Well, on the line with us now is Gary Keough. He's with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. That's a mouthful, Gary. Are you there?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
One of your tasks is to monitor maple syrup production in the New England states. Gary, what can you tell us about Maine statistics? Are we doing better than we used to?
The yields are tending to increase a little bit. The number of taps, yes, they've continued to increase over the last several years. It's the thing that you probably want, as Lyle alluded to, you really have two different maple industries within Maine. You mentioned the people up in the northwest that sell primarily for a bulk price. And then you have the local producers farther south, closer to the population areas, like Lyle, and a lot of their syrup goes to the local markets. So there's something to keep in mind when you look at Maine maple and Maple Sunday. One thing that most people in Maine probably don't realize, Somerset County is the largest maple-producing state or county in the nation.
So even more so than counties in Vermont. Yeah. Wow. Is that, do you believe it's poised to grow? Is there even more potential for the maple industry in Maine?
It's going to depend on how the packers can get the syrup out of the area. There needs to be a steady growth in the international market for a large amount of growth so that the bigger packers and that produce that syrup can ship that out. The local producers, they can probably add a few more trees here and there, and as long as the local market can keep up, the local people get to price the syrup the way they want.
Well, Lyle, let me ask you about what Gary said, expanding the international market. You're president of Maine Maple Producers. Is there a concerted effort underway to develop a taste in places like China for Maine maple syrup?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's actually been done collaboratively with some other states. There is a North American Maple Syrup Council and an International Maple Syrup Institute that both work diligently throughout the year and help to develop these markets. So obviously that helps all the states that produce large amounts of syrup, because certainly what we're experiencing in growth, right now they're estimating nearly 1 million taps a year are being added, new growth to the maple industry. So certainly we need to be on our toes and keep expanding our markets overseas. And right here in the U.S., it's a surprising number. I don't have it on the top of my head, but it's an extremely low number percentage on how many people in the U.S. use real maple syrup.
Gary, before I let you go, I want to ask, is there any other really interesting statistic you think our audience would like to know about Maine maple syrup? I mean, I know you think they're all interesting, I'm sure.
The No, I'm going to pass on that one. You get your number of taps that have been talked about. Production keeps going up. I mean, those that are listening, go out and try it if you haven't. I mean, I started doing maple syrup on my own because of the taste. So go for it.
Well, thanks for the encouragement. Well, Gary Keogh's with the New England office of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. There, I said it. Thank you, Gary, for joining us today. And with that, we're going to turn to a break. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have any questions about maple syrup, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does the Central Maine Heart and Vascular Institute, offering minimally invasive heart and vascular surgery. CMHVI.org.
On the next Fresh Air, New Yorker staff writer and author Elif Batten. Her new novel, The Idiot, is named after the Dostoevsky novel and is based on her own experiences as a college freshman in the 90s. We'll also talk about being the daughter of secular Turkish immigrants and then living in Turkey for 3 years, where she had to decide whether to wear a headscarf. Join us.
Tune in to Fresh Air coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Maine Public Radio will provide special live coverage from NPR of congressional hearings next week. On Monday morning, starting at 10 o'clock, the House Intelligence Committee is holding a hearing on Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. election. FBI Director James Comey and the Director of National Security Agency, Admiral Mike Rogers, are among those who are being called to testify. And next Tuesday morning, starting at 9 o'clock, we will offer live anchored coverage of the Senate Judiciary Committee's hearing on President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch. Again, that's coming up next week at 10 o'clock on Monday, the House Intelligence Committee, and Tuesday morning, starting at 9, the Senate Judiciary Committee's hearing on Neil Gorsuch, here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, a conversation about one of Maine's iconic products, maple syrup. With me in the studio, Lyle Merrifield, who produces maple syrup and is president of the Maine Maple Producers Association, and Catherine Hopkins, who teaches at the University of Maine Cooperative Extension. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. You caught us coming out of a conversation during the break about the potential for Maine's maple syrup industry. And Lyle, you were saying that about 2 million trees in Maine are tapped right now?
Yeah, slightly under. And we've had an extensive study done, well, probably 2 years ago now. And they came back and advised us that any maple tree in the state of Maine within 3 miles of even up to a gravel road gives us numbers of nearly 48 million trees.
Holy cow.
So obviously there's some, it's a study, so there's some variation there, but we have plenty more trees to tap.
Okay, and is the reason that we haven't done that yet because the trees are on private land, there just aren't enough people doing it? Do people go in, enter into agreements with people who have large tracts of private land to tap trees on their property?
Definitely people enter into agreements, and obviously there's a variation of size of how big the producer wants to get. It's not uncommon for somebody to jump in now and produce syrup commercially with 10 to 15,000 taps, but you have to find the right location, the right piece of property, because to invest in the infrastructure to produce that kind of syrup, you're looking for a long-term lease, and depending on the landowner, you may not be able to secure that. So there's a lot of variables to it going into it.
Who would you recommend? Who is sort of a prime candidate to become a new maple syrup producer? Are we talking about folks who live in that north to northwest area who have large tracts of land? Is that who you would like to see get into the industry?
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible, and I think we are seeing that. And I don't want to just talk about the big producer because there's a lot of smaller producers, maybe with 1,000 to 2,000 taps, and then even smaller ones. But that usually the hobbyists, I mean, they like to make enough syrup to sell, during the maple season, and that may be it. But there's producers that like to tap enough trees and produce enough syrup to sell throughout the year. So, but certainly there's a fair amount of people getting on board with it.
Kathy, is tapping, does it harm the tree? Does it improve the tree? Does it have an effect on the tree's biology at all?
Not really. It doesn't harm the tree as long as you tap conservatively. The tree will heal that over. You're making a wound in the tree, which just like when we get a wound, we have a scab and it heals over and all is well. The tree does the same thing. So as long as you're not over tapping the tree, it's fine to continue tapping it. And there are people that have tapped trees for over 100 years. The same tree.
Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about climate change yet. We have touched on that this year's season started a little earlier than usual, but we've had a few of those years lately, haven't we, where the season has started a little earlier than usual. So maybe it's becoming what's regular now and not the exception.
The weather has been a little capricious, let's say, in the last few years. And so you really have to tap by what's happening with the weather and not by what the calendar says. There are a lot of people that will say, I don't tap until March 1st. That's when we tap the trees. Well, if you wait until March 1st, then you miss that run in January and you miss that run in February because the conditions were actually right then. Climate change or the capriciousness of the weather just means that you need to pay more attention to it.
What's your story, Lyle? How have you been tapping earlier and earlier most years?
I have not.
You have not?
No. Sometimes that can kind of bite at you at the end maybe. Last year it did not. Anybody that tapped early were productive the whole season and gained from that. I do believe there's something to be said about the climate change. Obviously, I'm not an expert at all on that. But I also believe that we've had many, many, many years that we've had beautiful days in January and 1st of February, but people in their mind just never tap because we don't tap till Valentine's Day, typically. So I'm not – the early runs, I think, have been there for a long time. I just don't think that producers were had it in their mind that they're going to start making syrup. Now that a few people have done it, I think that has ramped up so people want to get that early start.
Yeah, well, and you've also got the daylight, right? The later you wait in the season, the longer your day is for
right.
working in the woods.
Right. And
yeah.
So I think that's another thing that's hinging it that way is people have just decided not to just watch the calendar. They tap. They decided to be tap 1st of January and be ready if we have some warm days.
On the line with us now, Tim Perkins. He is a research professor and director of the University of Vermont's Proctor Maple Research Center. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Tell us what the Proctor Maple Research Center does.
We do research and demonstration and education on lots of topics dealing with maple syrup production, maple tree health.
Are there certain areas of research that are particularly hot right now, things that you're really learning a lot about now?
Well, over the last several years, we've done quite a bit of work on looking at high-yield maple production, trying to increase sap production from trees. And I think we've had some good success with doing that.
We were just talking with the guests here in the studio about the effects of climate change. Is that something that your research center is looking into? And what do you believe, if so, what do you believe the impact of climate change will be on New England's maple sugar industry?
We have done research on climate change, and what we've seen over the last 50 to 60 years is this sort of steady shift in the maple production season towards earlier in the calendar year. So, you know, throughout New England, we're on average starting about a week earlier and ending about 10 days earlier. So the duration of the season has shortened a little bit over that time, but at the same time, technology has gotten so much better that we've managed to offset that slight duration reduction by increasing yields. In the future, it's very hard to say. There are some things that look like they may have negative consequences on sap yields, but then some actual possibilities where some shift in the climate may have a positive impact.
Well, Tim, thanks so much for joining us today. Tim Perkins is the director of the University of Vermont's Proctor Maple Research Center. Lyle, do you use their research in the work that you do?
We do. We definitely do. And they're very generous in sharing it throughout the whole maple industry. Can't say enough good about that facility and Tim himself.
Great. So we're going to go to some of our listener questions now. This is from Michael. It's an email from Michael in Linnaeus, Maine. I tap 19 trees every year in Aroostook County. I use half-gallon and one-gallon plastic milk jugs to catch the sap. I collect by walking from tree to tree, sometimes on snowshoes, carrying a 5-gallon bucket. I boil using a stainless buffet serving pan on an old Portland Stove Foundry Atlantic wood heater in my, quote, sugar shack. I finish it off in my camp on the wood stove and then on the electric stove. I get about a gallon of syrup at the end of the season, and it is worth every ounce of effort. The thing that amazes me is how different the run is from any given tree from day to day and year to year. My question is this. Why does one tree produce a lot today, a little tomorrow, a lot the next day, while a different tree might be on the opposite schedule? Kathy, do you have the answer?
I think it's all up to the tree and how the tree's particular genetics and the atmospheric conditions around the tree, the kind of soil the tree is growing in. Trees are like people. We're all different, and we have our good days and our bad days.
We have a Facebook post from Jennifer. She writes, when we go out breakfast and my son has maple syrup, he orders, quote, syrup from trees. And also on Facebook, Joshua, Maine's winters seem to get warmer every year. What effect will global warming have on the state's maple industry? We've tackled that. An email from Lynn, does it matter what kind of maple tree you have?
No, not really. All maple trees will give sap in the spring. Some maples, usually the sugar maple, is the highest sugar concentration sap, but all maple species will give you a sweet sap.
Well, and something I learned from one of your videos is you don't want to tap a tree that's too small, right?
Correct. Yes. It should be 10 to 12 inches before you tap it.
So 10 to 12 inches, not in diameter, not in circumference.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So, Lyle, what is the best way to consume maple syrup? On a pancake? On ice? On ice cream?
Well, it's pretty hard to beat it on ice cream. But you see it used in a lot of places now. A lot of restaurants are using it for glazes on meats. It's just gotten so popular as a sweetener. But personally, I enjoy it on scallops wrapped in bacon. It's pretty hard to beat it on that. So it's just, there's a huge variety of foods to use it on.
So how do you do that? Tell us your recipe. How do you make scallops wrapped in bacon with maple syrup?
I can't let it all out, but no, typically my wife, will wrap those and cook them. I don't know how many minutes, but cook them for a few minutes before she starts glazing them in the syrup. And the syrup actually candifies. I don't know if that's the right word for it or not, but it puts a candy coating right around the outside of it. And it's pretty hard to beat. A lot of times you go to restaurants and you'll get a dipping sauce. It's a maple dipping sauce. But obviously you can certainly tell if it's not real maple syrup.
And does your wife do that on a skillet under the broiler?
Typically under the broiler.
Okay.
Yep.
What about you, Kathy? Do you have a favorite recipe? Favorite way to have maple syrup?
Oh, gosh. Well, you could have it with every course of your meal, really. even with your pre-meal cocktails and so on. Apparently, bartenders are using maple syrup in their creations. I think my favorite way to have maple, though it's awfully sweet, is maple syrup pie.
It's pretty nice. Oh, my. What is maple syrup pie?
Well, it has eggs in it, and you cook it. I haven't made it in a while. I think it has.
Is it kind of like a custard?
Kind of, but not. You don't. It's not quite. You have to have it. I think you can find the recipe maybe on the Maine Maple Producers website.
I think it may be.
It might be there.
There's
but
a few variations.
If you just Google it, you'll find maple syrup pie. It has cream and eggs and maple syrup.
So it's super healthy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And low-cal, too. So, just a tiny slice.
Lyle, we have a question from a young listener who wants to know if maple sugar producers get tired of maple syrup. Like, you hear legends of lobstermen who don't like lobsters. Is it the same thing in your world?
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's... for us personally at home, it's almost like a staple in some of our food. No different than you have a jug of milk in the refrigerator. You'd have syrup to put on, over your oatmeal, over a dish of ice cream, over carrots. It's just something that's always available in our house, it's certainly catching on in the food market.
Okay, we're going to go to Perry in Camden. Hi, Perry. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you very much. I just want to call in. I don't really have a question, but I do have a comment and some information about the industry. We represent the Passamaquoddy tribe located in Princeton, Maine, Princeton and Sipiac, near Eastport. And back in the early 1980s, in the land settlement, they bought huge tracts of land over in Jackman, area. Well, lo and behold, it turns out they were loaded with maple trees. And just recently, like 5 or 6 years ago, my nonprofit was asked to consult with them to help develop this into a thriving business. And just for raw numbers for your listeners, their forestry department, this is the tribal forestry department, and the rest of us found out that we probably have between 400 and 500,000 available taps in those hills. Which is a huge number of taps if they choose to go that far in their development. We started it 3-4 years ago. We're currently expanding it as we speak. There's a website called PassamaquoddyMaple.com that people can go to. The website itself will be up in, we hope, another couple of weeks. There's a Facebook page on Passamaquoddy Maple. And if you want, I can give you either offline or whenever some information about our organization, which has been doing the consulting on this. And one of the things I want to mention is that, unlike many other Native projects here in Maine, this is 100% owned by the Passamaquoddy tribe. There's not a penny of it that's in from the non-tribal community. They own the whole thing, and they're running it all by themselves.
Perry, that's great. And if you would, I would love it if you'd go on the Maine Calling Facebook page and post links or more information about that so that we use that as a resource so people can go online and learn more, maybe learn where they can buy it too.
I certainly will. And I think one of the things I want to mention is that years ago, the climate change thing is really very much in our minds as well, because years ago, before we even started, we looked at the latitude lines that makes up northern Vermont, northern New Hampshire, and Canada, and drew that across the state of Maine. And lo and behold, all of the good sugar lands in northern Maine are above that line. And what this means, if I am reading the climate correctly, is that all the Canadian maple producers, the 80% of the syrup that's made in the world, it comes from Quebec, and that is the same latitude as northern Maine. So if the industry is going to go south, so to speak, we're all going to go south together. Northern Maine is right along Canada with its capacity for fulfilling huge volumes of syrup if we choose to do it. We have a great opportunity.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much for Perry for calling in, and we do have to take another break. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com.
Caring for a loved one in their final days.
None of us can live forever, I guess. And you've got to accept it, and I'm trying.
I'm Patty White. In the next installment of In This Life, Maine Public Radio's series on aging, we'll visit a family physician in Midcoast Maine who helps patients live the life they want through hospice care, with a focus on the person and the family instead of on the illness.
That story can be heard on Thursday's Maine Things Considered and during Morning Edition on Friday. And coming up in just about 20 minutes in our 2 o'clock Public Affairs Hour, World Affairs welcomes author Alexandra Wolf discussing Silicon Valley entrepreneurs. Again, it's coming up in 20 minutes here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, maple syrup and its importance to Maine. With me, Catherine Hopkins with the University of Maine Cooperative Extension and Lyle Merrifield, president of Maine Maple Producers Association. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. We're going to go to Pierre, who's calling from Blue Hill. Hi, Pierre. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm a hobbyist, and I just had a couple of questions. The 3-gallon galvanized buckets that you see in antique stores, at what age should you be concerned about lead in the solder or not using those? That's my one question. And then I have a question about what happens to the holes when you decide to stop collecting sap.
Well, the second question, Kathy, you've answered, right? It's like it's
right.
A scar that heals. But what
right.
about the do we worry about lead in older buckets?
Yes. And if I'm understanding the question correctly, everybody should be worried about lead in syrup. There's no age where suddenly we're not affected by lead anymore. It's not really something that you want in any of your food. So if you have found an old galvanized bucket, a collection in an antique store or something, you should paint a sugaring scene on those and sell those to the tourists for $25 a piece, and then go buy a $10 bucket somewhere else.
So use new equipment.
Don't use the old stuff.
All right. Thanks, Pierre, for your question. We have, let's see here, an email from Tricia. Can you please talk about what makes some maple syrup qualify as organic, and what ingredients are used in the industry that would not qualify as organic, and what purpose do they serve in the production of maple syrup? Lyle, or
I can answer a few of those questions. An organic producer, there's a lot of regulations on size of tree that can be tapped, where the trees are located. If they were located along a large field belonging to another farmer that's not organic, Those can't be tapped. Roadside trees, I believe, cannot be tapped because of salt residue.
But it's not as though if you buy Maine maple syrup and it's not labeled as organic, those trees were not sprayed, for example, with something or fertilized with something that other trees were not.
No, correct. Correct.
Right. Right. It's a lot of the organic certifications are about management of the sugar bush. So it's maintaining the diversity in the woods to maintain the health of the trees.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go to Bangor and Larry. Hi, Larry. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Back in the Jurassic period, I read Scott Nearing's book about maple sugaring, and wherein they said you could only use rock maple. And I had a land in Exeter, which I cultivated for rock, you know, for maple syruping. And then when I had a divorce, I lost the land, and I moved to Otis. And Otis, there are no sugar maples. And so I told my wife she couldn't sugar the trees. And she said, well, I'm going to anyway. And she did it, and the red maple sugars fine.
Yeah, and that's what you were saying, Kathy, right?
Yes.
Any kind of maple tree. Any just as long as it's a maple tree.
That's right, right. Not an oak tree, but a maple tree, yes. And you know, people used to say, oh, we only want rock maples or sugar maples because they have the sweetest sap, and so we have to labor less to turn that into syrup. But, you know, any maple will make a sweet syrup, and there's so much more technology now that takes some of the water out of the sap before you even start to boil it, that it, the sweetness of the sap isn't as critical as maybe it was.
Hmm. We're going to move on to Kittery and Paula. Hi, Paula. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, we went to Chase Farms, I think it's called, up in Wells to get our maple syrup last year, and it was just hot out of the process. I mean, boiling into the bottle. And a lady even burned herself pouring it in. But anyway, we asked if there was a grade B because we had heard that grade B maple syrup was actually better than grade A because it was thicker and richer and had more flavor. And she said, we don't grade them anymore. And I didn't know if that was specific to their business or if it's an industry-wide thing and why there's no difference anymore.
Okay, interesting question, Lyle. Do you grade your syrup? Do other people grade their syrup?
Absolutely. If you're selling syrup, it's by law, it has to be graded. To back up a little bit on the grade B syrup is not any heavier or thicker. It's all syrup. All real maple syrup is the same density. Obviously, you have different shades, which puts it into its color categories. But no, all syrup sold to consumers needs to be graded.
And it's all grade A.
All grade A.
If it's being sold to consumers.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's why, Paul, all you can buy is grade A then. So we have a tweet from Jonathan. What about birch syrup? I'm curious about other trees that can be tapped.
You can make birch syrup. The birch season is a little bit after the maple season, and it's usually much shorter. It's about 2 weeks or so. You can also make walnut syrup and butternut syrup, though, again, these other tree species have a much less sweet sap, so it takes a lot more of the sap to make the same amount of syrup.
Is it good?
I've had one birch syrup that was really very nice and one that was really not.
We'll go to Barney calling from Reedfield. Hi, Barney. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering if Lyle uses the reverse osmosis machines in his business or knows of people. And I was thinking that might be a neat business for somebody to set up one of these machines and then have local hobbyists that can bring their sap in and have it reduced to by about 70, I think it's around 70 or 75%, something like that.
Okay, you've heard of this, right, Lyle?
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's doing that practice. Personally, we do use a reverse osmosis machine to you know, condense our sap before we boil it. But that's an interesting thought. Somebody, you know, there would be some mechanical things that have to be worked out there on how you divide the sap up. But, yeah, it's a thought, and if it got popular enough.
And you would need to process that reduced sap very quickly. Sap is very perishable, and so you can't reduce the water content and then have the sap, the concentrated sap hanging around for a while, it will spoil very quickly.
So, but if somebody wants to try this for the first time, as soon as you collect the sap, you need to start processing it. Interesting. Okay. We're going to go to Mount Vernon and John. Hi, John. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Yeah. Hi. I had a question for Lyle. Lyle, what's the difference between a licensed and an unlicensed producer? And is there any kind of a logo that the maple producers are looking to put together that, you know, as a consumer we could focus on when we want to buy some good maple syrup?
Excellent questions. I'll answer the second one first, actually. Yes, the association actually is working actively on trying to develop a logo that licensed Maine producers can use to identify their, you know, Maine syrup and kind of unify the industry there. So it's something we're definitely working at, and you need to refresh me on the first question again.
Well, what's the difference between a licensed producer and an unlicensed producer?
Both obviously could produce all the syrup they wanted, but you certainly need to be licensed in the state of Maine if you want to sell that syrup.
And has somebody come and checked out the facility and made sure it meets kind of cleanliness standards? And yeah,
when you apply for a license, you'll get a state inspection, and they'll come and the state's very good there. Their folks are very good at working with producers and get them on the right track and the right start.
John, thanks for your question. We're going to move to Auburn. And David, hi, David. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling. David, go ahead.
Jennifer, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
I am so hungry right now after listening to you talk about maple sap for an hour. It's killing me. Hey, a couple quick questions. Can maple syrup be substituted one for one with corn syrup when baking at home?
Okay.
And is there any, I know that honey can be distilled into a sweet wine they call mead. Is there any way to distill maple syrup into a similar product?
Okay. Well, we saw perplexed looks at your first question, right?
Yes. I think I've never heard of a conversion or a matching units for corn syrup and maple syrup. If you're trying to substitute syrup for white sugar in a recipe, you generally use for every cup of sugar you would use, you'd use a cup of syrup and reduce the liquid by, reduce the liquid in the recipe by a couple tablespoons.
Okay. And is there an equivalent to mead as mead is to honey? Is there something for maple syrup?
There are producers who are making maple wines, and there are producers using syrup as a component of their beer brewing. There's a producer making maple whiskey, I think it is.
Okay, well, it sounds like a party. David, thanks for your questions. We have an email from Peter. I have been tapping 60 to 80 trees for 10 years and have several questions. Does it make a difference to tap on the sunny or southern side of the tree?
You should. I mean, obviously, the southern side of the tree, which is typically the sunny side, is going to produce more sap because it's going to produce it quicker in the morning. But you should take advantage of the whole tree.
Okay.
Because that way as Kathy spoke earlier about wounding the tree, you're spreading that around. You're not concentrating that in one area.
We have, does the tree's crown size correlate with sap production?
Roughly. The bigger the crown, usually the better the sap production.
Okay. And does the birch sap syrup season directly correlate with the maple season? You said it's a little bit later.
Yes. It's a couple weeks. Usually the birch season starts after the maple season ends.
Okay. And Martha has on an email, what is the minimum age or trunk circumference for tapping a maple tree? You don't go by circumference, you go by diameter. And that's about 10 inches, you said?
10 to 12. 12 would be better. And usually it takes a maple tree about 40 years to get that size.
40 years. Wow. We'll go to Laura in Portland. Hi, Laura. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a follow-up question. So you were just asked about grade B, different grades of syrup, and you said effectively there are no different grades. It's all grade A. And my question is, anytime maple is featured in cooking magazines, and this is quite often lots of different magazines, they always have a note at the end that says, look for grade B syrup at specialty food stores, and that it has more maple flavor.
Huh. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, all the time, yes. Yeah. Usually the grade B syrups were a darker syrup. They were the darkest grade that you could get. In Maine, we haven't had grade B in probably 20 years because then people were asking, well, is it grade B instead of grade A? Does that mean it's not as good a syrup? And in fact, it was always really grade A. So Mainers said, let's call it grade A. If it's grade A, we'll call ours grade A extra dark. But grade B has been around as a name for a long, long time. So you can read that on the internet. You can find books, and people have been using that term forever. So it's a hard thing to change. We've had new international grades for the past 2 years. I think we're in the second year. And all of the syrup in the new international grades for both Canada and the U.S. is grade A syrup. And the new grade names have both a color description and a flavor description. So those are the new grades. Those are what are supposed to be used legally in both countries. And so the grades are, there's four retail grades. There's golden delicate, amber rich, dark robust, and very dark strong.
So, but all those would work in a recipe?
Yes, but it depends what kind of flavor profile you're looking for. If you're going to make a barbecue sauce, you probably want the very dark and strong flavored syrup.
Okay, we just have a little bit of time left, but I want to ask you, Kathy, about nutrition. Does maple syrup have, we know it's good for our soul, but is there a nutritional value to it as well?
If you choose to use a sweetener, and of course we're always told we should be eating less salt, less sugar, and all that, less fat. But if you choose to use a sweetener, really, maple syrup has the highest amount of minerals in it. Honey comes in a distant second, but both honey and maple syrup are way better than corn syrup, has really nothing in it. White sugar has really nothing in it for nutrition. Maple syrup has manganese, riboflavin, zinc, manganese, magnesium, calcium, and potassium.
Okay.
All.
And a yes or no question for our final question. Celia on Facebook, does one need to refrigerate opened maple syrup?
Absolutely.
There we go. And how long does it last in the refrigerator?
Indefinitely, if
okay.
You keep it in the fridge.
We never keep it very long. It disappears.
Yeah.
Thank you both for being here today. Kathy Hopkins, an educator with the University of Maine Cooperative Extension, where she teaches agriculture and natural resources. Lyle Merrifield, maple syrup producer based in Gorham and president of the Maine Maple Producers Association. March 26 is Maine Maple Sunday. We've put a map on the Maine Calling Facebook page. Jonathan Woodward ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.